Right, we're back on the record after a short recess. And I believe Mr. DeLorme had completed his presentation and Senator Marsolais had completed his presentation. So, Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco, did you have a presentation of evidence you wanted to make?
We have concluded that we don't have to present any exhibits or put Sue on the stand. However, we are offering Sue Richter if anyone has any questions, commissioners or the applicant have questions for her. And secondly, the other exhibits that we thought we might want to introduce are some more specific documents about the most recent charge. We don't have the older charge ones available to put on the record, but we were, after hearing the evidence, not intending to put them on unless the commission wants those on the record.
Okay, so Mr. DeLorme, the original intent was that Ms. Sue Richter might be called. She's saying she's not going to call her as a witness. Was there anything that you wanted to ask her if she was put on the stand?
No.
Okay. Okay. Commissioners, anything you can think of that we need to call Ms. Richter?
I don't think so. I mean, my only question would be for Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco on the record with regard to the supplementary information, the most recent conviction. Was there anything contradictory that you heard that would cause the commission to want to have that in the record?
No, Commissioner, and that's why I'm not sure we need to go through the trouble of...
Sure. I assume that was the case, but I thought we'd just flesh it out. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Well, then, I guess there's nothing to rebut. I had said at the outset that if you wanted to present further evidence after they presented their case, you'd have an opportunity to do so, but they're not presenting any further evidence, so I guess there's no other testimony, no other evidence to be elicited at this time. But I will ask, is there any other evidence that you wish to bring to the attention of the commissioners before we get into closing argument, Mr. DeLorme? Any other evidence you want to present?
Not that I could think of at this time, no.
Okay, and Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco has none. All right, then we'll take oral closing argument, and I just need to tell you that closing argument is not evidence. At this point, all of the evidence is in the facts for the commission to consider. It's for your opportunity to tell the commission what you think the evidence shows and what you think they should do in regard to your applications based on the applicable law. So because you have the burden of proof, Mr. DeLorme, I'll give you a chance to make your closing argument first, and then Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco will have an opportunity to make closing argument, and then I'll let you have the final word. And if the commissioners have any questions of the applicant and Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco as they're making their oral argument, after they make their oral argument, you'll have an opportunity to ask questions, too, about the application of the facts to the law. That being said, Mr. DeLorme, please. Closing argument.
Well, I would like to have the commission approve my application process, and
for both applications, correct?
For both applications, clerking and auctioneering, and. If you could look at not where I was, but where I'm at right now and where I want to go with this and the opportunities that it's going to give me in life, you know, for business. At the same time, being that person that I could be and have an equal opportunity like the next person, I would like to be licensed as a clerk and auctioneer. And provide for my family. You know, I mean, it's one thing as a felon to be treated as a third-class citizen because you lose the rights to bear arms, you lose the right to vote. But to be treated as a fourth-class citizen and not be given equal opportunity, I want you guys to consider giving me the application because of the fact that I'm proving that to you. I mean, I went to this school. I became, apparently the class found it to be that I was very professional, conducted myself very professional, and elected me the president of the class. So, I mean, they had to have seen something in me to, just to even put me at that standard. So with that, I apologize for being here. I wish it could have been an easier process. So it feels like I went back through trial. Like my hands are all sweaty here. I mean, it's, but it is what it is. But with that, I just want to say thanks for giving me this opportunity to come sit in front of you today and explain at the same time. But to talk to you and explain to you from the heart. Because I'm not no attorney, as you see. I don't know how to put exhibit whatever together, this and that, you know. So, but with all that, I just want to say thanks.
Thank you, Mr. DeLorme. Commissioners, any questions? Yes, Commissioner Calk, please. I'm sorry. Commissioner Clark, we'll go in the same order.
I don't know if this is a question so much, but just thank you for being here. The commission processes are a little more formal in a lot of ways than some other parts of government. It's not in any way intended to intimidate anyone. It's just sort of this is just how we have to build a record, is through a more formal procedure like this with an administrative law judge and so on and so forth. And it's so that we can make a good decision. So no need to apologize for that. And he did just fine as far as putting on the case. So
some would say
you.
Better than that.
Thank you. Commissioner Kramer, please.
Well, thank you as well, again, for your flexibility with our schedule and for your persistence. A lot of people would have just sort of accepted it and said, that's my fate in life, and you didn't. And that speaks volumes, quite honestly. We don't rule from the bench, as you know, and as we've stated, we're not, you know, we've got some work to do. We've got some other stuff to come in. But at the end of the day, our decision is based on the record. It's based on the evidence. It's based on your testimony, all part of that record, and based on our oath to the Constitution and to the laws of the state. And that's the context in which we measure all this other stuff. And then at the end of all of that, we're elected officials. So we have an accountability to the same people as Senator Marcellet does. You know, and that matters, too. So, speaking for me, I'm a redemptive person. I appreciate your witness.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Calk, please.
I think that was one of my opening comments, that it said volumes to me that you came down here and pled your case. But with that, I'm still trying to make sure I understand the process of, so when the day comes that you're, quote-unquote, off probation, how do you get notified? I'm still a little unclear about that. I mean,
changes your phone number.
You know, I mean, because the, quite honestly, for me, it'd be a lot easier to make a decision if you were off probation. But I will tell you that, like Kevin Twentieth said, you don't make any decisions here, but do you just get a phone call one day and you're off probation?
You know,
there must be some protocol.
I do not know as to them giving anything, because the last time I was on probation with John Gornal, I never got nothing.
But this is probation,
yes,
through
and,
tribal.
And
so there must be some.
And I've even asked them, but maybe Stacy might have, you know, if you ask Stacy.
I think that'll flush itself out. But
yeah, because I don't. I
got to meet Stacy.
Okay, last time?
I don't want to. No, I'm with you, Doug. I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss something, because to me it seems like there should be a procedure that you'll know the day you're. Because isn't there an end date that unless you, if you don't do anything wrong, let's say, isn't there a date that you will be off probation?
Yeah, it's.
And when
is
that date?
It's 3 years, but it's 3 years that from the time I get out of the halfway house. It's from that.
So we do have a date certain that as long as nothing changes, that you will be off probation that day.
Yes.
Am I understanding that correct?
3 years from that last day being incarcerated. They give you a probation number. As soon as you get out of it, they'll tell you, okay, Doug, you're leaving Devil's Lake and you got to report to so-and-so.
And what was that date, to the best you remember, that you would consider the start of that three-year period?
It was November 13th. Don't quote me, it's right in there, November 10th. It was June 10th. I think it was November, almost positive. It was November 13th, but I'm not for sure. November 13th, 2010.
Okay.
And the last time, like you're asking, and the last time I was on probation, when I got released, I never got nothing. I never got anything. So I don't know how.
Okay, I think that's what I was just trying to get.
Yeah, I didn't get any. I mean, that's what I found weird. I mean, I thought I would have got something or went back in front of the judge, and the judge would have said, you know, you're off probation, Doug. You know, at least you know. But I never, you know. But I don't know. If
I just like Kevin said. I appreciate your tenacity and willingness to keep working, and look forward to getting a work session on this as quick as we can.
Does the documentation, Ms. Jeffco-Sakos, state a date?
The documentation does not state a date. I'm looking at the docket sheet for that first offense, which we can't get the actual documents. And the last item on there is a partial satisfaction of judgment, but that was 04. And there's a lot of receipts, but there really is nothing there about probation.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just reading a docket sheet. A federal criminal court for the first time in my life.
I would suggest that the inquiry be part of the late filed exhibit.
That will be. Right. I will ask that.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Deb.
All right. Thank you, Commissioners. All right, Ms. Jeffco-Sakos, do you have closing?
I guess I wouldn't really call it a closing argument, but I thought it might be helpful, given the context of what we've heard, to just quickly go over the key points of the law that are the standards for determining whether to grant a license. The auctioneer law and clerk law talks about granting licenses only to persons with a reputation for honesty, truthfulness, and fair dealing, and who are competent to transact the business of auctioneer or clerk. Conviction is not a bar unless the commission determines that the offense has a direct bearing on the person's ability to perform, or that the person is not sufficiently rehabilitated. And then you look to the criminal law for some more specific standards on sufficiently rehabilitated, and that's why we asked questions about probation and the term of the sentence. You consider the nature of the offense, the direct bearing, again, the degree of rehabilitation, the time that has elapsed since the conviction or release, which I think is a little odd because I could be two very different dates, but that's what it says. Completion of 5 years after final discharge or release is a presumption of rehabilitation unless there's some other evidence to the contrary. And it's prima facie evidence, I should say, not a presumption. Prima facie evidence of sufficient rehabilitation. So those are the kind of the standards that you're measuring this evidence against. Thank you.
Commissioner Clark, please.
See, if you read this the same way I do. On the 5105.102.1, conviction not a bar to licensure, exceptions. There's two parts of that. One is that they does not disqualify a person from licensure under the chapter unless the Public Service Commission determines that the offense has a direct bearing upon the person's ability to serve the public as an auctioneer, which would seem to speak to kind of the nature of the offense in relation to specifically what auctioneers or auction clerks do. But then there's an or that following conviction of any offense, and the person is not sufficiently rehabilitated. So what that says to me is that even offenses that would otherwise be considered kind of applicable to auction clerking and auctioneering can be forgiven in a sense or accepted, so long as the commission has a belief that the person's been sufficiently rehabilitated.
That's, I think, the way we've interpreted it as staff, yes.
Okay. The key being the any offense, which would be
yes.
Inclusive. Okay.
That's all that I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Jeffco-Sakos. Any further questions of Ms. Jeffco-Sakos, Commissioners? All right. Yes, Mr. DeLorme, did you?
Okay. No, one more thing. I just want to know for the record that my state record is perfect. I got an open container basically when I was 18 years old, and you know if that's on my record. So I just want you to know that as far as the state, but yet our jurisdiction where I live becomes federal jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. So everything on the reservation, I'm sure you guys are aware of that, becomes federal.
I thought of that.
But my state record is phenomenal. I mean, it's...
Well, our jurisdiction on your reservation is under question, too. So. That's another whole matter. You didn't raise that one, at least.
Mr. Norm, anything you want to say in response to Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco's closing?
No, because she'll rebuttal.
you have the final word.
No, it's okay.
Okay. All right. I think you kind of gave closing statements, commissioners. So as I said at the outset, the commission will be issuing findings of facts, conclusions of law, and an order in regard to this. And you'll get copies of that. They'll consider all of the evidence and make that decision and send you copies of their final order. Anything else to bring to the attention of the commission before we close this hearing then? Hearing nothing, it's about 4:35. This hearing is closed. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.